You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, gang. Hello again. This is the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast, and I'm John Rabin, and this is episode 108. It's July 20th, 2020, when I'm recording this, and I'm happy that you can join me for just under an hour, and just under a half hour, maybe shorter, maybe longer. At this point, I have no idea. This is not a tightly scheduled format. I will not be going back and editing because that requires me listening to my own voice. And for some reason, I'm just like everybody else, not a fan of my voice. I am a fan of me, just not how I sound. I hope that you're hanging in there. Here we are. Once again, how do we come up with stuff to talk about every week? Well, thankfully, the world is a shit show, and we all observe it. Thankfully. I found out that it was my understanding, and it was this way for a while, that listeners of this podcast are primarily in the United States, and then in second place was Australia. I mentioned that last year, I think, at some point. I was like, hey, thanks, Australia. Sorry, Australians, but you're down to number three. You're still hanging in there, and I appreciate you. I really do. But at number two, Norway. I'm big in Norway, relatively speaking, as compared to, you know, Guam or, which is a territory, I get it. But, so thank you, Norwegian listeners. You're number two. Just, I don't tell people and, see if you can bump out the, these goddamn Americans. Whatever. It's not a competition. It is a competition. Please. You're number two. You can do it. But that was interesting, man. Thank you for... There's nothing like getting access to stats you didn't ask for. But that's what Podbean did for me. That's the service that I use. And they're like, hey, we've got some stats for you. Would you like to check them out? I'm not really interested. Here they are by country. Okay, I guess I'll take a look. So that's the new thing that I discovered. Also, my girlfriend and I been noticing a trend. You probably have seen this. I don't, on my, I have a Chrome extension that turns all comments on YouTube into the words either herp or derp. It's called, the extension's called herp derp. And so I haven't read YouTube comments in about 5 years. Because of this extension. And you know what? I'm a better man for it. However, my girlfriend's YouTube doesn't... She doesn't do the same. But she was just kind of showing me. And we were kind of looking. And we've noticed that there's a thing where... When it comes to old songs, like in the 70s... Usually like 70s and before. Older people who leave YouTube comments tend to leave an entire story about what that song means to them. And it's just, and that's just particular to that age, to older people, I've noticed. And that's I haven't seen comments in about songs in the 80s so much. Definitely not the 90s and above, but like in the 70s, when you're talking like soft rock or like you're pulling up, you know, Gordon Lightfoot. I think was a song she was listening to. My girlfriend was listening to a Gordon Lightfoot song. I don't know why, but she was, and it was fine, I guess. The comment was just a whole story about what that song meant to that particular person, and it was sweet. It got the, and I guess it shows up because it gets the most likes. So the YouTube app goes, hey, here's the top comment. But that's the thing. You don't see that with a younger generation, or you don't see that with anything other than like the classic rock, soft rock, you know, arena rock and oldies and stuff. You don't see it for anything else. And I don't know if we'll ever get to there, but I'm pretty sure there'll never be somebody who just sits there and says, yeah, when I first heard this song, Shake That Ass by Splack Pack, it's when I saw my second baby mama for the first time, and it'll always mean something to me. You're never going to see that. It's never going to be a big, long, heartfelt story about a song by the Digital Underground. It's just not. It's not going to happen. Or anything, you know. Ah, yes. This juvenile song brings back really wholesome memories outside of the club. I don't see it happening. It's a very odd... Pull up any old, like, soft rock song. It's got to be the 70s. It's got to be, like, mid-70s and before. And you'll see it. You'll see that there's somebody's got a story, and it's sweet. It's about the only positive YouTube comments that you'll see. So that's interesting. Is it, John? It is. It is interesting. I thought it was worth mentioning. Jesus. Stupid voice in my head. All right, guys, I don't know how I was going to go about this, to talk about this. So I'm just going to jump right into it. Because it's been a fuck of a week since last Wednesday. Just with news, like just in general, just anything you see online, whether it be people reporting on something that's happening with them or legit news or gossip that's trying to being passed off as news. It's just been kind of shit. It's been a hell of a week again, and I get that. One of the things that I saw was a report from Denver about statistics from January to June with fentanyl. Oof. Fentanyl overdoses in Denver specifically are almost 300% higher this year than last year. And this shit shouldn't be that surprising. Like, we've gotten so much stuff, so much shit's going on that, you know, like we all know, people are definitely drinking a lot more and doing drugs because there's nothing else to fucking do to distract ourselves outside of our places. So yeah, obviously that's gonna be happening. Friend of a friend's, you know, had mentioned that their friends who's a coke dealer is constantly busy. There is no slowing down the drug trade, or the drug train, if that's a saying. So this is not surprising that there's definitely, you know, a lot of people have definitely gotten to that next level or further down the spiral, depending on your point of view, because of this. And that's going to be hard to get out on top of everything else that seems looming and is scary. And it's going to, you know, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in when you're thinking about, you know, what the fuck are we all going to do? I get it. But I don't know. The thing that gets me, everybody, I realize that this is not a bit. It's just something I wanted to actually talk about that I haven't brought up. I'm sure I brought this up at one point. I mean, this is 108 episodes. I'm sure one of these episodes I brought up this a couple of times. But so my whole deal was, you know, talking about, in fact, one of my podcast episodes was how I got sober at the last possible moment. Because I did. I waited till it got to a point where it was like, oh, so my next option is being homeless with every single bridge burned. You know, family and remaining friends have doused the bridge with gasoline and everyone's holding a match going, John. And then, you know, that sort of thing. So somehow I lucked into getting into rehab in San Antonio, Texas, because I got a grant. Now, I understand, I've mentioned before that this particular grant program is no longer available, which really sucks. I don't know if anything's replaced it to help people get funding to get into a rehab if you're looking, but, you know, and I, especially not now, I don't know. That's the whole thing, is that is rehab even available for people who can get help, who are looking for help now in the middle of a pandemic? Jesus. But, you know, talk about, you know, you got to change people, places, and things. I can't. I'm quarantining. How the fuck am I going to change those things? But the thing about it was, is when, like, my first week there in the rehab, in the 90-day rehab program that I did, they had this, one of the classes that we were in, the speaker had said, and I don't remember the exact wording, but what the exact stat he gave, but it was basically, he told everybody in a very uplifting way, I'm being sarcastic, that only 25 to 30% of us were going to make it. And I'm assuming that they said this in order to motivate us to realize that this is hard work, blah, 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 that you really have to work on yourself. And I agree, by the way, that you really have to work at it, that rehab alone, that a treatment program alone is not going to be able to do it, that you've got to want it so bad. I mean, that it's really you. It's giving you the opportunity to change you, kind of a deal. But that was the statistics. And statistics are hilarious in when it comes to drug addiction, because maybe not ha-ha funny, but because they don't know. People didn't leave rehab and going, I'm going to make sure and keep in constant communication with this rehab facility so that they have accurate data on whether I make it or not. I'm totally going to be truthful. I mean, so it's just a number that they kind of throw out there that's made up. You know, so anytime you see any kind of rehabilitation facilities, like, we've got a 70%, they don't know. They don't know. If you get any kind of specific numbers, realize that it's a bullshit number. It's better that they remain vague and they're like, it's, you know, it's not great, but it's better than no help at all. Like, you know, look for honesty would be better than looking for, like, we've got numbers to prove it. Do you though? But I bring that up because it reminds me of, I have these former friends who I found out said about me, when they found out that I was a heroin addict, they had told some other friends of mine that, you know, that they didn't want anything to do with me again because, quote, once a junkie, always a junkie. And I think I've talked about that before, where there is some truth to that declarative statement. Because once you get a junkie mindset, you're always going to have a little bit of that in there. You're always going to be looking for angles. Sort of the criminal mindset kind of thing, in the same vein, where, you know, once you you'll always be you'll be able to see opportunities and stuff, and so your brain will be like, hey, that, you know, somebody left money there, or somebody left something that'd be easy to steal. That kind of shit never goes away. So the idea that once a junkie, always a junkie, in that aspect, yes. And the thing about that is that if you go, let's say we're going by rehab statistics. If they say once a junkie, always a junkie, they're going to be right 70% of the time. However, turns out they were wrong about me. I may have a little bit of the junkie brain in my head that sees certain things, but I turned it around. I waited. It took a while. It took a lot of failing. It took a lot of losing everything twice. And, you know, going to county for 6 months, it took a lot of things, you know, and, so the idea, I guess where I'm trying to go with this is this. I feel like all the shit that's going on, that you need to just look into. I feel like there is a roach of optimism in an ashtray that's filled with charred hopes and dreams that's going on in the world. Yeah, that's right. I'm using a drug metaphor on a sober podcast. But, you know, I figured weed would be a better, softer. Because, you know, when you discover a roach in an ashtray, potheads tend to go, hey, pleasantly surprised. It's a little bit different than saying sometimes there's a rock of optimism in the carpet when you're digging around, when you're into meth. No, that's a way different, like more positively, you know, just kind of pleasantly surprised in an ashtray versus you're digging around the carpet. I'm getting off track. What I'm saying is there's a roach of optimism in this ashtray. And that is, statistically and with people who knew me and stuff, it was like they didn't think I was going to pull out of it. And I still did. And even with, you know, fucking up a lot and getting lucky and then eventually working hard, it can happen. And it sucks when you see it, because I just like blocked somebody on Facebook because I could not, because they're downward spiraling like a motherfucker. And they're at a point now where nobody can help them. They've got to help themselves, and they don't listen. And I couldn't, you know, I'm like, I can't watch. So I get the stepping away from people, but you have to know that there's always, you know, hope. You know, as long as somebody's not dead, there's always a chance. Because it's people that made it out of the rehab that I stayed in, both the different treatment programs that I was in. There's people that I didn't think would make it at all, and they totally made it. It's crazy. I didn't see that happening. And then there are other people I'm like, I think he's got a chance. And, you know, two of them that I know are dead. Like, it was, you can't tell. But there's hope. That's what I'm saying. There's a chance, and not just for, so if you know people that are suffering, that's, you know, there's always a chance. And you can take that for a broader sense. As much shit is going on right now, I feel the same way. Because I've been through, you know, I put myself through some really terrible shit and I still remember it. So as worrisome as things are, I realize that things can get really bad, but you can pull out of it. You got to keep going. And you got to work at it. You got to work, and there's nothing that we can do about big issues, you know, controlled by politics and controlled in Washington. But there's things that you can do for you. And you got to watch out for yourself because you got to keep going. And look, I know that this was not funny. I realized that I did not have a lot of humor in this particular episode because it's just because I'd been thinking about it. But the optimism that I'm talking about here, the roach of optimism, yes, yes, we have a title, is that I believe in human nature, in the good in human nature. And I believe, I don't know, you know, we don't know who's going to make it when it's all said and done, but we're going to keep going and we're going to get through this. We have gone as a species, we've gone through a lot of things. We're going to make it through. It just, we're just reading too much news and seeing too much negativity, but there's a lot of people out there. When I go to work, when I have to interact with people at the pet store and at HEB, grocery store, and at getting coffee and seeing people walking their dogs, it's like, people, we're not evil. We're not all that angry all the time. I think we're going to be okay. You may have to be, you know, you have to take precautions. You have to watch out for your health. You got to watch out for your loved one's health and all that. We've got to be smart and, you know, be proactive. But I think we're going to be okay. And I know that it's weird that I used a metaphor. Yeah, I know. I mean, I know I called the world an ashtray, which is a line from a Marilyn Manson song off of Antichrist Superstar in the 90s. I'm a 90s kid. Obviously, I didn't do that on purpose, but it just dawned on me that that's where I've heard that before. And I'm like, oh, shit. And yeah, Marilyn Manson was really negative. And he was talking about how it's just everything is shit. And he called the world an ashtray. But you know what? A couple of albums later, he was an androgynous mannequin looking fucker with breasts. So like, things change. Oddly, but they change. And that's what you got to get through the world as shit into your androgynous period where you've got tits. That's what you got to do. Yeah. We all got to wait for our tits. Oh, are we going to end on tits? We are. This is what we're ending on. Thank you guys for sticking with me on this. And I hope you're doing all right. If you want to drop me a line, stillsoberpod@gmail.com. Let me know how you're doing. We'll see you next week. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. Later. Fight for the piercing skin. Come back down to earth again. Cold is creeping deep inside. Telephone line. Gotta get away, gotta get away, get away, gotta get away.